Good morning or good afternoon all, and welcome to the EP Infrastructure Full Year 2025 Results Conference Call. My name is Adam, and I'll be your operator today. If you'd like to ask a question during the Q&A portion of today's call, you may do so by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad if you've joined us via the phone. Alternatively, if you've joined us online, please use the Q&A text box provided. I will now hand the floor to Gary Mazzotti to begin. So Gary, please go ahead when you are ready.
Thank you, Adam, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the financial year 2025 results. I am, of course, joined by the indomitable Chief Financial Officer of the group, Vaclav Paláček, and we have pleasure for both of us to take you through the results of 2025. If we move, Teresa, to page five, we have the executive summary of the year. As some of you know, I always try and have a statement to summarize the year of the results, and this one is quite simple. The financial year 2025, the transition has been successful and complete, and the results reflect this. We are now effectively in EPIF 2.0, or effectively Business Plan Ustream 2.0, something that we flagged, I think, at least 2 years in advance to our investors and to our banks. So the key financial highlights in 2025, the EBITDA adjusted came in at 1 billion euros on a proportionate basis. This is 552 million euros. The net leverage stood at 3.35 times, still well within guidance. The adjusted free cash flow was 667 million euros. And the group cash conversion ratio rose nicely to 66% from 58%, reflecting the gradual disposal of the CapEx in the CHPs that are being built out. The key events, clearly, the halt of Russian gas transit at the end of 2024 meant that EPIF and the TSO Ustream transitioned to a regulated utility. In effect, this strengthened the cash flow stability and the credit quality of the group, and we're delighted that as of today's date, we are BBB minus on a positive basis with Standard & Poor's, Baa3 stable and BBB minus stable with Moody's and with Fitch. So we've delivered a resilient performance. The EBITDA results are broadly in line with expectations, in fact. Those that have seen me over the last 6 months will know that actually this is slightly ahead of predictions and in fact was above the plans that we had at the beginning of 2025. To reflect the transition and the completion of the transition and the successful rating outcomes that we've had, EPIF then went on to complete two green bond issuances under our new EMTN program, 600 million euros was issued in November 2025 and a follow-up 500 million issuance in January 2026. The euro 1.1 billion financing has therefore strengthened our liquidity, improved the debt maturity profile and enhanced our financial flexibility against geopolitical and market volatility. I have to say our timing was pretty well immaculate. If we move to page six, the group remains as is, shareholders 69% EPH, 31% Macquarie Group with assortment of co-investors. The group has now changed slightly in that the core division now is gas and power distribution, two fully regulated utilities in Slovakia, SPP Distribucia, the 98% monopoly gas distribution business, and SSE Holding, which is the distribution business in the middle part of Slovakia. Gas transmission continues to be Ustream, fully regulated but without Russian gas. Had a performance I think we can be extremely happy with and indeed above our initial expectations. Gas storage's result, this is our NAFTA and SPP storage and Posigas business, result was in line with expectations. Clearly the historical winter-summer spreads did not materialize in 2025. Heat infra, distribution of hot water to large conurbations, this is effectively now almost entirely regulated. So our position remains leading market positions, strategic importance of our assets in Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Germany. Our core assets are co-owned by the Slovak state. EPH continues to own 69% of EPIF, and Macquarie is 31%. The financial KPIs are given in the table on the bottom right-hand side, which I've given excuse me, previously on page 5. If we then move to page 8, I'll pass you to Václav. Václav.
Thank you, Gary. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me update you on business and regulatory matters across our segments. Starting with gas and power distribution segment, we are now in 4th out of 5-year regulatory period. All the underlying principles for regulation have been maintained. WACC is increasing to 5.47 from 5.39 last year. The tariffs for 2026 have been approved by the regulator by end of the preceding year, as every year, which provide us with good stability and visibility into 2026. And overall, the segment remained core part of EPIF with a proportion of more than 50% of group's EBITDA. Moving on to gas storage segment, it operated under difficult market conditions in 2025. In general, we operate the best when we are starting new storage season with relatively full storage facilities, and when we are seeing healthy summer-winter spread that incentivize gas players to buy and store gas. However, in April 2025, when we start new gas season, storage inventories were relatively low because of strong winter, and also forward summer gas price was at the level or even above the forward winter price. Therefore, there was only little incentive to gas shippers to buy and inject gas into storages. Market then normalized over summer. However, it was a bit late for us to benefit from that. On the other hand, we benefited from the fact that we continue to have healthy proportion of our storage facilities sold under long-term contracts. And also, Slovak part of our storage is business regulated via price cap, and in reality, this price cap is taken as price guidance for our strategic storage contract that we have in Slovakia. Moving on to heat infra, two topics there. Firstly, disposal of CHPs at the end of March. We have done the disposal because we want to focus more on core infrastructure activities. For heat infra, this is delivery of heat. Therefore, we have retained the heating network, and we are procuring heat from the disposed CHPs based on long-term contracts. The other topic is decarbonization. We still have generation capacity in Plzeň that we are committed to decarbonize, and we are transitioning away from lignite into a mix of hydrogen-ready CCGT capacity combined with already existing waste to energy and biomass technology. This transition is supported by EU Modernization Fund, and we are also successful in tendering local subsidies. So we have been awarded with 15 years of operational subsidies from Czech Ministry of Environment. In terms of timing of these projects, we are progressing well, and we would like to complete the conversion by first half of 2029. We can move to slide number 9, where Gary would update us on the events in gas transmission.
Thanks, Václav. So this is a confirmation of effectively Ustream 2.0. Effective from the 1st of January 2025, the transmission tariffs increased significantly to euro 1 megawatt hour per day for all entry and exit points, and with the domestic points set at euros 90 cents. This was a significant increase on the previous entry-exit tariffs. The Russian gas has stopped from 1st of January 2025, and in effect this has removed a long-standing geopolitical risk for the company and confirmed the permanent transition of the Slovak transmission system towards regional and domestic flows. Now, with the change to the new tariff system, and the shift in the flow patterns, the large majority of the segment earnings now originates from regulated domestic flows. And this underpins the new predominantly regulated income of EPIF and the strong ratings that we enjoy from all three rating agencies. I guess page 10 is interesting for you. Recent developments. There's been a significant increase in uncertainty in the global energy markets, and this is still clear today. The main effect is in the LNG shipping routes, which are clearly affected. The length of which they'll be affected is still unclear. I can confirm that EPIF has no direct exposure to the Middle East. Any impacts expected on us will be indirect only. The group's predominantly regulated long-term contracted infrastructure assets continue to demonstrate strong resilience, supported by stable tariff frameworks and inflation indexation that limits exposure to commodity price movements. Potential secondary effects may include higher commodity price volatility, temporary working capital movements, or selective supplier pressure. These risks remain manageable, and no direct supply chain impacts are expected, although global logistics may experience short-term fluctuations. So far, there has been no material operational impact that has been observed to date throughout EPIF and its subsidiary. The situation is continuously monitored within the group's established geopolitical and market risk processes. And those that remember us from 2021 will recognize that this is a significant shift in EPIF and a significant positive shift in our IG quality. Page 11, my favorite page, gives you a quick analysis of the core groups. Number one is clearly gas and power distribution. Again, a very, very stable output from our two core companies. Cash conversion around 75% remains stable. We did in fact in 2025 see some uptick both in the distribution of power and in the distribution of gas in Slovakia. Gas transmission, Ustream, moved to its new business model, €171 million. From those of you that know presentations I've made to you in the past, this was above our expectations, which is positive. Cash flow conversion high, and for those analysts building their models out there, the gas transmission in 2025 was 4.9 BCM. In gas storage, clearly, as Aslav has highlighted, the summer-winter spreads in some cases inverted, making the environment for storage not as lucrative as it's been in prior years, but we are underpinned by long-term contracts. The cash conversion remained very, very strong, and the storage capacity remains as is. Heat infrastructure and EBITDA of €88 million shows now predominantly regulated income on heat, and shows actually that the CHPs that we disposed from the group did not contribute a significant amount of EBITDA, but they did in fact take up a significant amount of CapEx. So in our drive to increase our cash flow conversion, disposal of these CHPs undoubtedly has made EPIF an even more predictable beast. In total then, EBITDA, €1.018 billion, with a cash conversion of 76%, which we are happy with, and which we think may in fact improve in the years ahead. On page 12, Vaslav can take you through some of the key numbers here. Vaslav.
Thank you, Gary. Page 12 is showing adjusted EBITDA bridge from 2025 to 2024 results. Clearly, the performance year-on-year dropped by 25% or €342 million to €1,018 million. And I would say this drop is well anticipated, expected, as the drop is concentrated around the drop in gas transmission segment. Just shortly going through these segments, Gary already covered them. Gas and power distribution segment generated $572 million of adjusted EBITDA, down by 1% year on year. It's really a resilient, stable, robust segment. Gas transmission EBITDA, $171 million, 59% down year on year. And this is the main change when EUStream switch into a new operating model that is predominantly regulated domestic TSO, which much lower volume of flows, however, better credit quality. Then gas storage, $199 million, 31% down year on year, drop because of the unfavorable market conditions with very low or even negative summer-winter spreads. And also we didn't experience much volatility, which is something that we like for gas storage segment as it creates opportunities. And finally, heat infra segment, $88 million of adjusted EBITDA, 7% down from last year, while heat distribution business is stable. The decline that we are seeing is caused by power generation activities because lignite continues to have really narrowing margins, and the decarbonization that we are performing is not only effect of our ESG efforts, it's also the economics of lignite. So overall, 25% decline in adjusted EBITDA, I would say, well expected decline to the level of $1.1 billion. Of adjusted EBITDA in 2025. And we can move to the next section, three, capital structure, where I'll start with the key events from financing in 2025. Then I'll continue with our balance sheet as of December 25, followed by the events that we managed or the refinancing that we completed already in 2026. And then I'll get to our capital structure policy. So starting on slide 14, EUStream repaid its $500 million notes in February. This is a well-known fact. More recently, in November, EPIF introduced its new EMTN program and issued $600 million green bond with maturity 2033. And then in December, we repaid a $75 million portion of Schuldschein debt at EPIF. In terms of dividends, over 25, we paid $320 million of dividends. And on top of that, EPIF declared additional $100 million of dividends. And the payment was processed only in January, meaning that as of December, we are reporting $100 million dividend liability, and for transparency, this is part of our gross debt calculation, so the figure is included. Speaking of gross debt, we can move to slide 15. We are reporting stable figure of gross debt. We have $3,619,000,000 as of December 25, which is only 2% up from last year. The key events or drivers we discussed, it's $500 million repayment at EUStream, 600 raised at EPIF, and 75 also repaid at EPIF. The key message here is that we continue to have a major portion of debt represented by fixed price instrument, in particular 88% represented by bonds. We continue to maintain robust liquidity. As of December 25, it was $2.35 billion of liquidity represented by cash and committed credit facilities. Out of that, $1.1 billion was available directly at EPIF holdco level. As for the maturity profile, it remains balanced, with the next maturity being July of this year, $600 million at EPIF, and this is followed by more spread out maturities. So overall, we maintain a high proportion of fixed price instruments as proportion of our debt. We maintain strong liquidity, and also we have diversified access to the markets. And this provides good foundation to the events in 2026 presented on slide 16. In January, under the new EMTN program, we issued additional 500 million of bonds with maturity 2034. When we are issuing this bond at the end of January, markets were already showing signs of heightened geopolitical tensions. So at the time, we were asked why we have chosen the timing. And the development in following weeks demonstrated that accessing the market that early helped us to avoid additional volatility and uncertainty. Then in February, EPF repaid its remainder on Schuldschein, remaining 210. And also over January, February, EPF executed open market repurchases of its 2026 bond. In total, we bought 70 million of nominal, and currently this 70 million is in the process of being cancelled. So all in all, over November, January, we raised 1.1 billion of new green debt. We repaid 285 million of Schuldschein, already bought 70 million out of 600 maturing in July. And we maintain ample capacity to address the upcoming maturity at EPIF, through which we effectively removed the near-term refinancing needs. And we can move to slide 17, that is presenting our capital structure policy. I'll start with our net leverage figure, which stood at 3.35 times as of December 25, which is up from 2.29 in prior year. Reason for this increase, it's firstly EBITDA decline, which was well expected, and secondly, the increase in leverage is through the dividend payment that we discussed. And maybe let me pause here to explain our approach with respect to dividends. We always have very, very conservative stance. We look at our liquidity that is sufficient to cover our investment and refinancing needs. Also, we make sure that our investment grade is secured, and only then we propose and declare dividends. And this is good illustration of what happened in December 2025, when we saw that November's and December's results were better than we expected. We proposed additional 100 million dividend, right? And still we achieved leverage 3.35, which is below the 4.0 times target for 2025. And speaking of target, on the slide we are showing that in period 2022 till 2025, we maintained reduced leverage target because of then existing elevated market and geopolitical risks. So you can see the targets and also how we actually performed, where we maintained significant headroom to the threshold. And starting in 2026, with the group's credit profile materially stronger and our earnings mix becoming increasingly regulated and stable, we are announcing increase of our long-term leverage target to 4.2 times. This brings us closer to where we were before the energy crisis in 2022, and also it better reflects our risk profile and stability of our cash flows. So overall, we continue to operate with a solid and resilient capital structure characterized by high share of fixed rate bonds, maintaining robust liquidity and majority of debt sitting at EPIF. Our financing strategy remains disciplined and fully aligned with our profile as a long-term contracted and regulated business. And with that message, I would hand over to Gary for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Václav. So we can move to page 19. And I think the key message here is that the transition of EPIF to its new long-term business model has been achieved and is effectively completed. The anticipated the EBITDA drop in 2025 was fully anticipated, in fact, I believe well flagged. Ustream has successfully transitioned to a predominantly regulated domestic TSO. We have very strong liquidity position with 1.7 billion of cash and cash equivalents, 600 million plus of undrawn committed credit facilities as of 31st of December. We also have a proportionate net leverage ratio at 3.35, which continues to show that we monitor our leverage actually significantly well below our targets. This development remains in line with EPIS financial policy and is always consistent with our net leverage targets. Reflecting the reduced credit and business risks, we intend to increase the proportionate leverage target to 4.2 from the beginning of 2026. I think if you were to look at the rating, latest rating reports from the three rating agencies, this is already well flagged and accepted by them as well. The key financing highlights. So if you like, the transition was completed, was successful. The business plan was produced as we foresaw, and therefore we were then able to finance the business out again for the medium and the long term. In November, 600 million euros unsecured green notes, very successful issue, maturing in February 2033, and we followed that up in January 2026 with a 500 million issue maturing in January 2034. This significantly improves the maturity of EPIF and sets us up as effectively one of the predominant infrastructure companies in this region. We voluntarily repaid our 285 million Schuldschein, and therefore we ensure we have substantial long-term liquidity to repay our 600 million bond that matures in July 2026. We see no material mid-term refinancing risk now for the group. Outlook, our model is resilient, and as of today's date, despite the geopolitical issues that surround the world, our business model seems to continue to be resilient to whatever's happening out there. Our rating is consistent policy. We intend to raise to 4.2, well flagged last year in our rating reports, and now it's time for the company to confirm what the rating agencies have already outlined. Our distributions continue to be disciplined. Our investment grade remains paramount before any distribution decisions. So EPIF 2025, EPIF 2026, and onwards, strong, highly regulated utility, strong cash flow conversion, and a maturity debt schedule which is secure for the future. The company is resilient and is resistant of any changes so far in the geopolitical environment. And therefore we move on, I guess, to the last part of the presentation. As some of you know, I've been privileged to be the vice chairman and the CEO of EP Infrastructure for nearly 9 years. We've been through some good times, some difficult times, and some good times. And I do remember Vaclav and I sitting here in 2021 when I think we had nearly 300 investors on this call. Throughout that time, I think we've been able to just justify our investment grade rating, and in fact our results have remained stable, in fact above plan, throughout those transition years. But it's now time for me to step down from my position, and therefore I'd love to thank clearly to Daniel Kretinsky, also my thanks to the shareholders, the management team at EP Infrastructure, include especially my right hand, Vaclav, but especially the management and staff of all our operating companies who have made this possible. EPIF is now in a great, stable position, and I'm very proud of what we've all achieved. But after 9 years, it's time probably for the old man to say goodbye. Obviously, I just want to ensure a full and efficient transition and won't be going anywhere until that is done. But it's now time to indicate that I will be moving on in due course. So thank you everyone for attending the call. Really pleased with the results. I think everything that Václav and myself have been sort of highlighting or predicting or hinting over the last 2 years has come to fruition. Good set of results, and it's a good platform, especially with the refinance that Václav has achieved for EPIF going forward. So thank you very much and have a great day.
This concludes today's call. Thank you very much for your attendance. You may now disconnect your lines.